A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one. He's been building up a folder cabinet of standard operating procedures, a project that started during the Iran-Iraq War when his family was exhausted from running back and forth to the shelter. He made a booklet for checking the go-back and knowing what to do, and it works so well that he's been expanding the idea ever since. We talked previously about an SOP booklet for childminding, including first aid and medical stuff. Now he's asking about household tasks. What would go into a genuinely useful folder of SOPs for keeping a home in good working order? Grocery checks, chore lists, all the mental checks you'd want to offload so you're not constantly holding them in your head.
This is one of those ideas where the moment you hear it, you think, why doesn't everyone do this? Because the mental load of running a household is enormous. There's been research on this. The American Sociological Review published a study showing that even in households where physical chores are split evenly, the cognitive labor of tracking what needs to be done still falls disproportionately on one person. It's the noticing. That's what an SOP system offloads.
That's the word for it. You walk past the same slightly too full trash can 3 times, and your brain logs it every time without you consciously deciding to. Multiply that by 100 things, and by the end of the day, you've done a full shift of invisible work before you've lifted a finger.
And the people who thrive on process, Daniel mentioned this in the prompt, they're not being fussy or overly rigid. They're externalizing that cognitive load. The binder becomes a second brain. David Allen's Getting Things Done framework calls it mind like water. The idea that if you capture everything externally, your mind can be clear and responsive rather than cluttered with open loops.
Mind like water. I like that, though in my case it's more mind like a pond that a hippo just sat in.
Let's think about what actually belongs in a household SOP folder. And I want to be specific here, not just say chore lists and move on. The question is, what makes something SOP worthy versus something you just do?
Not everything needs a procedure. Brushing your teeth doesn't need a laminated card. So what's the filter?
I'd say 3 criteria. 1, it's recurring but not daily, so the interval is long enough that you might forget steps. 2, getting it wrong has real consequences. Spoiled food, a burst pipe, a missed bill. 3, it involves multiple steps or decision points where you'd benefit from not having to think.
The weekly grocery run qualifies on all 3. It's recurring, but the specifics change. Getting it wrong means you're eating crackers for dinner, and there are decision points. What's in the pantry? What's expiring? What's on sale?
Here's where most people go wrong with grocery SOPs. They make a shopping list. That's not a procedure. A procedure would include the pre-shop pantry scan, the meal plan cross-reference, the budget check, and the post-shop put-away sequence so the older cans come forward and the new ones go behind.
First in, first out. The FIFO method. I do this with my leaves.
You do not have a leaf rotation system.
I have an exquisite leaf rotation system. It's called eating whatever's closest to my face.
Let's actually build this out. I'm thinking the household SOP folder should be organized by frequency. Daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, seasonal, annual. And within each frequency, you have the actual procedure sheets.
Daily is probably the smallest section because those are the things that are so ingrained you don't need a sheet. But there are a few. The kitchen close-down procedure, for instance.
Oh, that's a good one. The end-of-day kitchen reset. Counters wiped, dishes done or loaded, sink empty, trash taken out if full, coffee maker set up for tomorrow. One quick floor sweep. It's maybe 7 steps, but having it as a checklist means you don't negotiate with yourself at 10:30 at night about whether the counters are clean enough.
The negotiation is the thing. That's what the SOP eliminates. You don't have to decide if it's good enough. The checklist decides. It's the domestic equivalent of a pre-flight checklist. Pilots don't stand on the tarmac thinking, did I check the flaps? I'm pretty sure I checked the flaps. They're probably fine.
That's exactly where the analogy comes from. The original pre-flight checklist was developed after a Boeing prototype crash in 1935. The plane was too complex for any single pilot to remember everything, so they created a written checklist. A household is a complex system too. Multiple inputs, multiple actors, consequences for failure.
What's the household equivalent of forgetting to check the flaps?
Forgetting to check that you have toilet paper before you need toilet paper.
That's a crash landing I'd rather avoid.
Let's move to the weekly section. This is probably the meat of the binder. You've got the full grocery procedure, the cleaning rotation, the laundry workflow, the meal planning session.
Break down the cleaning rotation for me. What makes it an SOP rather than just clean the bathroom on Saturday?
A proper cleaning SOP would specify the order of operations, which matters more than people think. You clean top to bottom, dry to wet. So in a bathroom, you dust light fixtures first, then mirrors, then counters, then the toilet, then the floor last. If you do the floor first, you're just going to drip counter spray on it and have to do it again.
Order of operations. That's the kind of thing that seems obvious once you hear it, but most people never articulate it. They just clean inefficiently and wonder why it takes so long.
The laundry SOP is another one where sequence matters. Sort by color and fabric type, check pockets, pre-treat stains, select the right cycle and temperature, transfer to dryer or hang dry immediately. The immediately part is crucial because the number of loads that have to be rewashed because they sat wet for 6 hours is staggering. Then fold or hang straight out of the dryer to avoid wrinkles. If you write this down, you can hand it to a teenager or a house guest and they can execute it.
Or hand it to yourself when you're exhausted and running on fumes, and your brain has temporarily been replaced with static.
Which is exactly the use case for a parent with young children. The SOP is for your future self who is more tired than your current self.
That's a good way to frame the whole project. You're writing instructions for the most depleted version of you. What would that person need spelled out?
That changes what you include. You don't write an SOP for when everything's going well. You write it for 3 a.m. with a crying baby and a fever and you haven't slept in 2 days.
What goes in the monthly section?
Monthly is where you catch the things that drift if you're not watching. HVAC filter check, smoke detector test, fire extinguisher inspection, deep clean of one major appliance, dishwasher, washing machine, oven, check expiration dates on pantry staples and medicines, review the budget against actual spending, run the garbage disposal with ice cubes to clean the blades.
The garbage disposal thing. I didn't know about that until I was embarrassingly old. I just assumed it was self-cleaning.
Most people do. And that's the value of an SOP from someone who's thought about this stuff. It captures institutional knowledge that isn't obvious, like the fact that you should run hot water for 15 seconds after you turn off the disposal to flush the line, or that you should never put potato peels down there.
Potato peels are the enemy of garbage disposals everywhere.
They turn into a paste that clogs the trap. It's a whole thing.
We've got daily, weekly, monthly. What about quarterly?
Quarterly is your seasonal transition work. Flip or rotate mattresses, wash pillows and comforters, clean behind major appliances, pull out the fridge, the stove, check and clean dryer vent and exhaust, test some pump if you have one. Deep clean windows and window tracks. Declutter one category, clothes, books, toys, whatever's piling up.
The decluttering SOP is interesting because it's as much psychological as practical. You need a decision framework. Keep, donate, trash, and criteria for each. Have I used this in the last year? It's the classic one, but it doesn't work for everything.
The Marie Kondo question, does it spark joy, is famously unhelpful for household tools. My plunger does not spark joy, but I'm keeping it.
The plunger is a joy-negative object that you will be extremely joyful to have when you need it. It's deferred joy. Joy on layaway.
So, a decluttering SOP needs category-specific criteria. For clothes, the one-year rule works. For tools and hardware, the question is, if I needed this, would I remember I had it and be able to find it? For paperwork, it's, is this available digitally or is this the only copy?
Paperwork is its own entire subsection. Bill paying, filing, tax document collection. That could be a quarterly SOP on its own.
I'd put bill paying in monthly, actually. A monthly financial close procedure. Reconcile accounts. Pay bills due in the next 30 days, review subscriptions, check for any unusual charges. The subscription review alone probably saves most households a couple $100 a year.
The subscription economy is built on people not having an SOP for reviewing subscriptions.
That's the business model. Set it and forget it. They're counting on your lack of a procedure.
Seasonal and annual. What goes there?
Seasonal is your big transition work. Spring and fall are the heavy seasons. Spring, deep clean everything, service the air conditioning, check the roof for winter damage, clean gutters, refresh emergency supplies, swap out winter gear for summer. Fall, winterize outdoor plumbing, service the heating system, check weather stripping, clean the chimney if you have one, swap summer gear for winter.
Annual is the stuff that happens once a year and would be catastrophic to forget. Insurance policy review, medical checkup scheduling, will and estate document review, home maintenance inspection, foundation, roof, plumbing, electrical.
The annual home maintenance inspection is one of those things where the SOP is protective. A small roof leak caught early is a few hundred dollars. Caught late, it's a new ceiling and mold remediation, and you're into five figures.
Prevention is boring until it's suddenly the most interesting thing in your life.
There's a concept in preventive medicine called the well visit, the checkup when nothing is wrong. That's what the annual home SOP is. And just like with medicine, people skip it because there's no immediate feedback saying you need it, until there is.
If we're actually assembling this binder for someone, what's the physical format? I'm imagining a three-ring binder with tab sections by frequency, and each section has laminated sheets.
Lamination is key. These are working documents in environments with water and food and sticky hands. And I'd add that each SOP should fit on one page, front only. If it's longer than that, you're overcomplicating it or you need to split it into two separate procedures.
One page, front only. That's a good constraint. It forces clarity.
Each sheet should have the same structure. Title, frequency, estimated time, tools or supplies needed, steps in order, and a notes section at the bottom for updates. The notes section is important. The SOP is a living document. If you discover that step 4 always needs to be done before step 3, you update it.
That's the difference between a binder that sits on a shelf and one that actually gets used. You have to maintain the maintenance system.
Which sounds ironic, but it's true. The meta SOP is the procedure for how you review and update the procedures.
We need an SOP for the SOPs.
I'd actually include that as the very first page in the binder. How to use this binder. How to update it. When to review it. I'd say quarterly, aligned with the quarterly tasks. And a page that says if something is missing, add it.
Let's talk about some specific SOPs that people might not think of, but that make a real difference. The go bag was Daniel's original one, and that's an obvious candidate. What about a guest preparation SOP?
That's a great one. If you have people staying over, there's a whole sequence. Clean and prep the guest room, fresh linens, towels set out, Wi-Fi password displayed, basic toiletries available, a spare phone charger. A quick note about house quirks. The hot water takes 30 seconds to reach the shower. The front door sticks if you don't lift the handle. It makes guests feel welcomed rather than like an imposition.
The front door sticks is the kind of institutional knowledge that only lives in the heads of the people who live there. Externalizing it is a gift to everyone.
It prevents the guests from standing there yanking on the door feeling like they're breaking your house.
What about a power outage, SOP?
Oh, that's essential. Where are the flashlights and are the batteries charged? Where's the circuit breaker and which switches control what? How do you report the outage to the utility company? What's the procedure for keeping the fridge closed to preserve food? If you have a generator, what's the startup sequence? If you have medical equipment that needs power, what's the backup plan?
The fridge thing is counterintuitive enough that it's worth spelling out. A full freezer keeps food safe for about 48 hours if you keep the door closed. A half full one, about 24 hours. Most people open the door to check on things, and that's exactly what you shouldn't do.
The SOP should include a printed list of what's in the freezer, taped to the outside, so you can check without opening.
That's the kind of detail that separates a real SOP from a vague intention.
Here's another one that I think gets overlooked, the leaving the house for more than 3 days, SOP. Water main shutoff? Thermostat set to away mode? Mail held or neighbor collecting it? Lights on timers? Perishables cleared out of the fridge? Doors and windows locked, and I mean a physical walk-around check, not just assuming.
The physical walk-around. That's the difference between a mental checklist and a procedure. The procedure forces you to actually touch the door handle, not just think about touching it.
There's actually a Japanese practice called pointing and calling, shisakenko, used by train conductors and factory workers. They point at the thing they're checking and say its status out loud. Signal is green. Door is locked. It reduces errors by something like 85% because it engages multiple senses. Your SOP could build that in.
Point at the locked door and announce it to the empty house. I love that. It sounds ridiculous, and it works.
The train conductors look very serious doing it. You can too.
What about a car maintenance op? That's an area where a lot of people are just hoping for the best.
Car maintenance is perfect for an SOP because the intervals are irregular and the consequences of neglect are expensive. Tire pressure check, monthly. Oil change, every 5 to 7,000 miles or whatever your manual says. Tire rotation, every other oil change. Air filter, cabin filter, wiper blades, those are annual-ish. And then there's the what to do in a breakdown procedure. Hazard lights on, pull over safely, emergency kit accessible, who to call, what information to have ready.
The emergency kit itself is an SOP. What's in it? How often to check it? Where it lives in the car?
Jumper cables, flashlight, first aid kit, blanket, water, non-perishable snacks, phone charger, basic tools, flares or reflectors, spare tire and jack. And you need to have actually practiced changing the tire once, because the side of the highway in the rain is not the time to learn.
The practice run is a good principle for any emergency SOP. You don't want the first time you execute the procedure to be the real thing.
That's why we do fire drills. The procedure exists, but you also rehearse it.
The binder should have a note on each emergency SOP. Practice this once before you need it.
And date the practice, so you know when it was last done.
Let's talk about the kitchen specifically. There are a lot of recurring procedures there beyond the daily close down.
The weekly fridge cleanout is a big one. Before you go grocery shopping, pull everything out, check expiration dates, wipe down shelves, make a list of what needs to be used up soon, and then plan meals around those items. It reduces food waste enormously. The average household throws out about 30 to 40% of its food, which is just money in the trash.
30 to 40%? That's staggering.
It's hundreds of dollars a month for a family. And a lot of it is because things get pushed to the back of the fridge and forgotten. An SOP that forces a weekly inventory prevents that.
What about a meal prep? SOP. For people who do batch cooking on Sundays or whatever?
That's a great candidate. Menu selection, ingredient shopping, prep sequence. Chop all vegetables first, then proteins, then assemble. Cooking order so everything finishes at roughly the same time, portioning and labeling for the freezer, clean up as you go. The clean-up-as-you-go step is the difference between meal prep being satisfying and meal prep being a kitchen disaster that takes 2 hours to recover from.
Clean-as-you-go. It's the domestic equivalent of continuous integration.
Small, frequent cleanings prevent a massive merge conflict at the end.
Merge conflict is what happens when you try to fit all the dirty dishes into the dishwasher at once, and nothing fits, and you have to hand wash half of it, and you're standing there at 9 p.m. questioning your life choices.
You've been there.
I've been there spiritually. I don't do dishes. I'm a sloth.
Another kitchen SOP that's worth having. The company is coming in 1 hour, emergency clean. It's a compressed version of the regular cleaning SOP, but prioritized ruthlessly. Public-facing rooms only. Surfaces, floors, bathroom. Everything else gets shoved in a closet and dealt with later.
The tactical closet stuff. It's a time-honored tradition.
Having it as an SOP means you don't freeze. You don't stand in the middle of the living room overwhelmed by the mess. You just execute the list. Living room, clear surfaces, fluff cushions, quick vacuum. Kitchen, clear counters, load dishwasher, wipe everything down. Bathroom, mirror, counter, toilet, fresh hand towel. 45 minutes, done.
The freeze response is real. When you're overwhelmed, decision-making shuts down. The SOP bypasses that entirely. You don't have to decide what to do. You just do what the sheet says.
That's the core psychological benefit of this whole system. It's not about being organized for the sake of being organized. It's about preserving executive function for the things that actually require it.
Decision fatigue is a documented phenomenon. Judges make worse rulings later in the day. The SOP is a way of saying, I'm not going to spend my limited decision-making budget on whether to clean the bathroom counter before or after the mirror.
So let's think about what other areas of household management benefit from this. What about a technology SOP?
Like device maintenance?
Device maintenance, but also security. Password rotation schedule. Backup verification. Actually checking that your backups work, not just assuming. Software update procedure. What to do if a device is lost or stolen. Wi-Fi network name and password documented somewhere physical. A list of all smart home devices and how to reset them.
The physical documentation of digital things is underrated. If your phone is dead and you can't access your password manager, you need a way to get back in.
An emergency access sheet, printed, stored in a fireproof safe or with a trusted person. Not the passwords themselves necessarily, but the recovery path. Which email account resets which services?
The recovery path. That's a good way to think about it. You're not documenting everything, you're documenting the path back to everything.
For families with kids, there's a whole category of child-specific SOPs. Morning routine, bedtime routine, school bag check, what to pack for various activities, the someone is sick, procedure, the child care handoff procedure for when a babysitter or grandparent is watching the kids.
The child care handoff is huge. You mentioned this in the previous episode, but it bears repeating. Medical info, allergies, emergency contacts, house rules, screen time limits, food preferences, bedtime sequence. All on one sheet that lives in a known location.
It gets updated as things change. The 4-year-old's bedtime routine is different from the 2-year-old's. The allergy list might change. The emergency contact might have a new phone number.
The living document principle again.
I think there's also a case for a house systems, SOP. Where's the water shutoff valve? The gas shutoff? The electrical panel and what each breaker controls? The plumbing cleanouts? The attic access? The HVAC filter size? The water heater settings? The irrigation system controller?
This is the stuff that one person in the household usually knows. And if that person is unavailable, everyone else is just staring at the breaker panel like it's an alien artifact.
It's not just for emergencies, it's for maintenance too. If you know the HVAC filter size, you can buy a multi-pack and have them on hand. If you know where the cleanouts are, you can snake a drain before it becomes a plumber call.
The before it becomes a plumber call is the ROI on the whole binder. $100 of prevention versus $1,000 of emergency repair.
The time savings. The average person spends something like 50 hours a year just figuring out what to cook for dinner. The mental churn of what's in the fridge, what do I feel like, what do we have time for, what won't the kids reject? That's a part-time job's worth of cognitive load. A meal planning SOP with a rotating list of go-to meals cuts that dramatically.
50 hours a year. That's more than a full work week spent just deciding what to eat.
That's before you even start cooking.
If we're designing the actual binder layout for someone who wants to implement this, what's the recommended structure?
Tab 1, how to use this binder. Tab 2, daily procedures. Kitchen close down, evening reset, morning launch sequence for school days.
Morning launch sequence. That's a good one. Backpacks packed the night before, lunches made, outfits laid out, shoes by the door, keys and phone in the designated spot. The morning is execution only, no decisions.
The no decisions before coffee principle.
Tab 3, weekly.
Weekly cleaning rotation, grocery procedure, laundry workflow, meal planning session, fridge cleanout. Maybe a weekly finance check, quick look at accounts to catch anything unusual.
Tab 4, monthly.
Bill pay and financial close, deep clean one zone, appliance maintenance, smoke detector test, filter check, expiration date sweep, subscription audit.
Tab 5, quarterly.
Seasonal transition tasks, mattress rotation, behind appliance cleaning, dryer vent, window cleaning, declutter session, SOP review and update.
Tab 6, seasonal and annual.
The big seasonal deep cleans, tax prep, insurance review, medical scheduling, home inspection, estate document check, emergency kit refresh.
Tab 7, emergency procedures.
Power outage, water leak, fire, medical emergency, car breakdown, lost wallet or phone, what to grab in an evacuation. Each one a single page, steps in order, critical information highlighted.
Tab 8, reference sheets.
This is where the institutional knowledge lives. House systems map, utility account numbers, service provider contacts, plumber, electrician, HVAC landscaper, paint colors by room, appliance model numbers and manuals, Wi-Fi credentials, the if I got hit by a bus document.
The bus document. Morbid but essential.
It's the ultimate act of consideration for your family. Here's everything you need to know if I'm not here to tell you.
That's the unspoken thread through this whole project. The SOP binder is an act of care. You're doing the thinking once, on a good day, so that the people you love don't have to think on a bad day.
Whether that's your partner, your kids, your future self, or a babysitter who's never been in your house before. The binder says, I thought about this. I made it easy for you. You don't have to figure it out from scratch.
That's a nice place to land. The binder as an expression of love.
Practically speaking, I'd recommend starting small. Don't try to build the entire binder in a weekend. Pick three procedures that would make the biggest immediate difference and write those. Use them for a month, then add three more.
The MVP approach. Minimum viable procedures.
And the refinement step is critical. The first draft of any SOP will have gaps. You'll discover them when you actually follow the steps. That's fine, that's the process.
One last thing I'd add. The binder should be visibly worn. A pristine binder is a binder that's not being used. Coffee stains, dog-eared pages, handwritten notes in the margins. That's a working document.
The patina of use. That's the sign that it's actually doing its job.
To wrap this up for the listener who asked, start with a three-ring binder. Tap it by frequency. Write one-page procedures with a consistent format. Laminate them. Use them. Update them. Focus on the procedures where getting it wrong matters and where you most want to stop thinking. And remember, you're writing for the most tired version of yourself.
If you're not sure what to include, walk through your week and notice every time you think, oh, I need to remember too, that's a candidate for the binder.
Capture the noticing.
Capture the noticing. And now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In the 1840s, a Russian naturalist on Sakhalin Island documented that ant colony alarm pheromones propagate through the air as a pressure wave with a frequency of roughly 400 hertz, making them technically audible as a faint hum if amplified sufficiently. The ants are, in a sense, screaming at each other in a register we cannot hear.
Ants have been screaming for 180 years, and we just never noticed.
That's deeply unsettling.
The binder can't help with that one.
This has been My Weird Prompts, produced by the inestimable Hilbert Flumingtop. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review. It helps other people find the show. We'll be back with another one soon.
Until then, write it down before you forget it.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.